Psalm 1 says, "Blessed or happy, hilarious is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree." Now get the symbolism. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We said in introduction 2 weeks ago that Psalm 1 is short and to the point. But what it lacks in dimension or in length or in volume, it makes up in content. In 6 short verses, the psalmist gives us greater wisdom, greater insight, more truth than all of the philosophers of ages gone by. This is written as a description of the happy man, the man who is in Christ. He's cheerful, he's blessed, he's really to the point of being hilarious. Now, we said about this description of the happy man, number one, this is by way of review. The public life of the happy man is seen in verse 1. 3 things quickly by way of review. Number 1, the happy man rejects the advice of the wicked. Number 2, he refuses to stand in the way of sinners. That is, he does not identify or associate with them. And number 3, he refrains from scornfully judging other people. Then we looked in the second area of the happy man. We saw the private life of the happy man in verse 2. His delight, he gets his kicks out of, he enjoys, he delights himself in the law of the Lord, that is in the Word of God, and in his law, that is in the Scripture, in the Bible, in the Word of God, he meditates day and night. The most widely sold book in the world is the Bible. It's already ahead of the next bestseller that's coming off the press. That's the positive side. But the negative side, it's probably the less read book in the world. It's probably gathering dust or is being used as a refuge for insurance policies and receipts and bills and what have you. And I have nothing against you putting those in the Bible. By the way, you might want to go home and look. I heard about one woman had lost her eyeglasses. She didn't know where they were. And for 6 months, she's going around. And finally, she got her Bible out, and lo and behold, they were stuffed in the lids of her Bible. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that meditates. So 2 things about the happy man in his private life. He delights in the Word of God. And 2, he meditates in the Word of God. He doesn't just read it. He doesn't just go over it. He doesn't just glance over a verse now and then, but he meditates day and night in the Word of God. Now we are ready for number 3, the position in life of the happy man. Look at the first part of verse 3. 3a says, "And he," that is the happy man, the blessed man, the man that refuses the counsel of wicked advisors, the man that doesn't stand out in the way and identify himself with sinners, the man that doesn't sit in the seat of judgment or the scornful, the man who delights in the Word of God, the man who meditates in the law of God, this man, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. As we drove home from New Mexico, coming out of some desert country where the Rio Grande River runs, we saw in the valley some large trees, tall trees. They were all planted right by the river. Everything from that over, for as far as you could see, was barren, desolate, desert, no life. But those trees that were planted by the river were bringing forth foliage and fruit. Look at it again. He shall be like a tree. And I emphasize the word planted. And I emphasize the word rivers. Rivers of water. Let's consider some of those rivers. I believe we could call grace a river tonight. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul says, "For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, grace is our teacher. Grace that has taught us to live right, to act right, to react right. So that's a river. Let's look at a second river in these rivers we're talking about, the river of peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I give unto you, peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Aren't you glad you can have a river of peace flowing through your soul? Even in the midst of heartaches, disappointments, disillusionments, discouragements, in the midst of all of the problems and perplexities and pressures of life. After all, what does our joy and peace have to do with circumstances? Nothing at all. We're not depending on external circumstances to guarantee our peace. We're depending on the Holy Spirit, who is alive within us, and the dynamic of Jesus Christ, who lives within each one of us. There's the river of peace. You know, Paul says the peace of God passes all understanding. The world can't understand why you would leave a tiresome job today, and some of you maybe come to church even without eating supper, driving 15, 20, 25, maybe 40 miles or more to get here. The world doesn't understand that, but then they don't have the peace you have. It passes all comprehension. It passes all understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God for the river of peace. I'm planted by it tonight. There's another river, contentment. You know, we're living in a world of discontents. Do you ever see so many people discontented? As a rule, a human's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. He always wants what is not. These people would say, "Well, if I had $1 million, no, you wouldn't. You'd want two. Somebody asked Rockefeller, how much money does it take to make a man really happy? And he said, "One more dollar. Just add another to it." So you wouldn't be, listen, or somebody say, "Well, man, if I lived in Phoenix or Florida or California." No, geography doesn't make you contented. Because the same old problems that are dogging you in Texas will meet you at the city limits of Phoenix and say, "Welcome to Arizona or Oklahoma or Florida or wherever." Paul's put it this way to young Timothy in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. It is certain," he said. He didn't say, "I think this is right." By the way, the Bible isn't characterized by thinking something right or wrong. The Bible says it, and that settles it. Paul says, "It is certain that you brought nothing into this world, and you'll take nothing out." How much did he leave? Everything. You'll take nothing out. "Therewith," he says, "or therefore, having food and raiment, something to eat and something to wear." By the way, my daddy used to say there are two things you can't cheat a poor man out of. One is plenty of ice water in the winter and a good warm bed in the summer. Not even a poor man can be cheated out of that. Food and clothes. Oh, somebody said, well, if I had this, if I had that. No, if you had everything this world affords minus Jesus, you couldn't be content. There's another river, and that's the river of pardon. Aren't you glad you've been pardoned? You know, you read once in a while where the governor issues a pardon to a prisoner. And it just kind of makes your heart leap when the pardon comes, when you know that somebody is being set free. But listen, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. And Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon. It's one thing to be pardoned, but it's another thing to be abundantly pardoned. Then I see the river of justification. We're all sinners tonight, either lost sinners or saved sinners. By the way, if you have a lost sinner, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. But you know, in God's sight, now here's a marvelous thing. The theological definition of justification would take me a long time, even if I knew it. And I want to tell you something. I've been studying the Bible now for almost 50 years. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know much more about justification and redemption and salvation than I did 50 years ago, but I've experienced it, so I'm not worried about all the details and ins and outs. I'm going to wait till I get to heaven to learn something. But if I just give you an everyday definition of it, you'll get it just like that. Justification means just as if I had never sinned. That's how God looks at you and me tonight in Christ. Just as if we had never transgressed his law or sinned against his statutes or broken his commandments. We're justified. How are we justified? By a church membership? Oh, no. Justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not only the peace of God, but peace with God. So that river of peace is two-pronged. It goes this way and goes that way. Peace of God, peace with God. And that river of justification, Paul says in Romans 4:25, he was raised for our justification. Because he was raised, we stand before God as if we had never, never sinned. So the position of the happy man, his position in life, number one now, under this third great big point that we're talking about, his position. His position is one of steadfastness, not wavering, wishy-washy, in and out, off and on, up and down. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, always unmovable, always abounding. Abounding, yes, not just getting by, but always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfastness. This tree that's planted by the river of the water, it's not a wild tree that sprang up on its own. No, no. It's a tree that is planted. Planted by God himself. The great horticulturist, the great tree planter. He plants us firmly. Now, let me give you a commentary on that from Matthew 5 and verse 13. By the way, the best commentary on the Bible is not Erdman's or Matthew Henry or Barnes or a thousand. And I don't have anything against these guys. I've read most all of them. I've at least gone over most of them. I've, you know, kind of stepped over them, gone, you know. That's the way some of you school kids do your lessons. Teacher said, did you study your lesson last night? Yes, teacher, I went over it. I think I'll just leave it there as a reminder. But listen, listen, God, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And the greatest authority in all of history is Jesus Christ. And this is what he said about being planted. Matthew 15, 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You know, in the day of judgment, there's going to be a lot of uprooting. Two trees kind of growing side by side, maybe look a whole lot alike. Like the wheat and tares, remember that story? But only that one which is planted by God Himself shall maintain its steadfastness. So, his position in life, steadfastness. Number two, his position is one of depth, not shallowness. There's so many shallow Christians in the world tonight. And we say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible, or I don't understand the Bible, or the problem is we don't put ourselves to it like we should. Remember what the happy man does? He meditates. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at the depth of the Christian life, the happy man, the man who is happy in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 17, 18, and 19. Listen to what Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. A person that's described in those verses is a person of spiritual depth, not shallow living, but living in the deep, abiding faith, faith with dimension, faith with depth. That's the position of the man who is happy in the Lord. And then in the third place, his position is one of nourishment. Turn to 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up. That suggests a constant, continual process of growing through nourishment, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Isn't it a marvelous thing to have the steadfastness, the depth, and the nourishment? That's the happy man. You see, the tree that's out there by the river is getting its nourishment from the soil. It doesn't get its nourishment from some external source out here. It gets its nourishment through the soil, through the ingredients that are in the soil and the chemicals that are in the soil, and through the root system and into the trunk and out of the branches goes the nourishment. And so it is with us. We're planted in Jesus Christ. We're planted in spiritual soil. And the more we read the Word of God, the more we pray, the more we witness, the more we have spiritual vitamins and spiritual inoculations out of the Word of God, the stronger we grow. The nourishment comes up through the roots. We are rooted in Christ. It comes up through the trunk and out the vine, the branches and the vines, and there we are, ultimately producing our own kind, producing fruit, because we've been nourished in the soil of the Word of God. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the position of the happy man who is in Christ Jesus. What's your status tonight? How deep are you rooted, grounded? Are you being nourished day by day from the Word of God? Or are you filling up on the lesser important things, cluttering your mind with other literature? And I'm not against good literature, don't misunderstand me. But there's no substitute for the Word of God. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born, that read to doubt or read to scorn. Thy words were found, Jeremiah said, and I did eat them, and thy word became the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Mr. Moody said, sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. Are you happy? Do you have the rivers of grace and peace and contentment? The rivers of joy and happiness flowing through your soul? Are you planted by those rivers in the soil of the Scripture? May God bless you. Our time is gone, and let me again encourage you about tomorrow night, the soul-winning hour. Let me encourage you about Saturday. Let me encourage you about the Lord's Day. Two outstanding services last Sunday. God gave us a mark. 8 precious souls saved and 5 precious believers baptized and scores of people making a commitment. Number one, to dedicate themselves. And I hope we don't use that word dedicate too lightly. We just overuse it. Dedicate ourselves to holy living. Determine that we're going to win more people to Christ. And denounce everything that's ungodlike and unchristlike in our lives. If we do that, we'll see a different environment. We'll see not just a taste of revival, but we'll drink the cup of spiritual renaissance and renewal in our lives. May God bless you as we do. Let's stand together. Reminding you to keep in mind and in your prayers those many of whose names we call. What a long list of sick people. And members, don't take the time now to visit with each other. Get acquainted with those visitors. You saw those people from Oklahoma and people from Florida. Some of you know the Pittmans. Get acquainted with these other folks too and let them know that you're glad. Even though they're from Oklahoma, you're glad to see them. Now, folks, we have a little standing joke about Oklahoma, and don't take that as an offensive thing, because I love people from Oklahoma. I really do. But I'm glad you're here, and folks, get acquainted with all of these, and you might want to renew acquaintance with some church member after you have seen these visitors. May God bless you. As we pray together, we admonish you to be a good soldier, a good servant, a good steward, a good student of the Word of God in these days.